Good morning to all of you. Thank you for being here. And this is the God who we worship. A God who hears our prayers right away, no matter where we are, and no matter how far we are from those special needs. He always hears our cries and our crying. As long as you know we proclaim His name, He will hear us, and that is the duty we have. That when someone is in need, take time and say a prayer for that special person. Welcome in those who are watching and live streaming also, and the ones that are here. You know, God says that wherever there's one or three united in His name, He is in the midst, and I believe that that's so true. I like to feel the comfort of the Spirit.
And
because
I really need it, and I
know
the time is I was telling my brother here, Gary, that you know, when you starting to find out what God wants you to preach about.
Jose, I'm sorry, your microphone went out.
Is it? You know what? I turned it on twice and it goes off. So that means the battery's dead, or?
Should be. It charges constantly. I just switched it out. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
I had trouble with that last week.
Okay, you hear me good? Right there? Or I just leave it here. All right, so you can see what I have here, and I didn't realize that my letters on the bottom of the image is they're really small. Hopefully you can read it there, but it's not really that much important. It just says Jose Galvan Loco, Finis Loco. But I'm going to talk about a little bit about these things that we have, the things that surround us these days. And this, I found this image in the online. It was kind of interesting to me. you know what? Yesterday we were at the we went to this pumpkin patch in Prescott. There used to be this farm long time ago. It was they changed the name. And it used to be John Farms Market or something like that, but now they changed the name to Martin something. Can you remember? But anyway, there was a tradition. I say a tradition because we used to go there every year to buy a fresh turkey. And they always, have all these sales of turkey when Thanksgiving was getting close. And so you were able to get a fresh turkey, fresh vegetables, fresh pies, and all that stuff. And so we were there yesterday, and I had a really good time with my family, with all the kids, and it was so windy, that's for sure. It was so windy. It was messing up my hair. But I had a really good time, and we were walking around there. There was so much to see. All these crops, and I wish I had a basket or something so I could, because whatever you pick at the end on the way out, they charge you for whatever you have. But they have all this really good stuff, strawberries, blackberries, and tomatoes, chiles, and all that stuff. And then we kind of took a break, and I was kind of walking around with River, and then I run into this cow. It was just like a cow, a plate made of metal. And this cow had the same design that you can see here, the one you see here on the screen. And it had all this, which I didn't know. When I go to the carniceria or to the grocery store, I'm just looking for a good steak. Where's it come from? I don't know. But right there it said where the T-bones, the ribeye, something like that. And because the cuts, the I had no idea. Only a butcher would know, right? And so this thing right here, it kind of almost has the same, it represents the same, other than this is the things that we have in our life. There are a lot of the times we don't see them as harmful, or they seem right to you. You don't see anything wrong with it. But when you start reading the scriptures of God, it's like kind of God reigns in your parade, right? Because you so enjoy all these things. You can see right there in the back place, it says comfort, money, careers, success. And a lot of those things you really focus in your life. And don't get me wrong, you know, you need to do those things for you to have a really good life, you know. No needs of money, because money moves everything. And so everything we do is for money. Power. You know, Brother Aaron was talking about power the other day in one of his studies in the afternoon. Power. The more power you have, the more you want. So it can come to be as an addiction, because it's never enough. Everything that you see right there for us is never enough. I'm always, like Rebecca told me once, you know, she's like, I'm not going to get you any more presents, because it's never good enough for you. You're always trying to get the next one, the next above whatever she gives me. And I'm like, well, that's how you get to the top, right? You start from the bottom and work yourself to the top. But that's not how it should be, right? You should be comfort. You should be pleased with what you have, with what God has provided for you. But as humans, and I see it everywhere, I see it in my church, I see it those who surround me, it's never enough. It's never enough. I when I start with my mountain biking hobby, I start with one bike from Goodwill. I was so excited because I never had a bike. And the first time the first day I had a bike here in the States, I was so excited. I thought I was the big guy in the street. I was all over the streets with that bike. And then I got myself a Walmart bike, and then I got myself another bike, which is more expensive. And I don't know. Brother Jay asked me about my bike, and I told him he was surprised about that bike. And now it's never enough. It's never enough. You continue to see these things. I mean, you should, what are you doing? You should be full. You should be content with what you have, but no. So that's what that's what God calls those things idols. And okay, so he told us from the beginning, you know, in Exodus right there, you see right there, 25. He said that you should not worship or bow down to any other God, because he is a jealous God. Jealous God, I'm sorry. He is a jealous God. And I don't blame him. Did he know what was going to happen to us in the future? He knew, you know. I'm going to just have to deal with these people. I'm going to do my best to guide them and direct them and the best I can. And I know that he did a really good job. Can you imagine being in the days of Moses, walking in the desert and seeing God walking next to you, and a pillar of fire or in the clouds? Can you imagine seeing Moses open the Red Sea right in front of you? I mean, and there's still, you know, not enough for them. It was not enough. For them to see what they saw with their own eyes, but in so much that what they did, you know, when they were in the desert, that Aaron made an item of like a bow or something out of gold that their Israelites had with them. And God, who knows how long Moses was with God in the mountain. But God at the end told him, you know, go down there because you people are going out of their minds. Why God hold on to Moses the whole time up there, not let him know what was going on in the bottom? I don't know. So it was not a surprise for God, those things that what we were doing. Right here, we know, we read the story of Jacob, when Jacob ran to his uncle Laban for the reason for what he did. We all know he tricked his brother. He tricked his brother, right? But when it was time, this is what brought me the attention. I'm going to read it here in Genesis. Actually, I'm going to just speak a little bit about this, what happened. So, you know, he was there for 20 years, for what I know, 20 years he was spent in the house of his uncle. And what happened in those 20 years, he become pretty rich, right? Pretty much. He had cattle, he has all kinds of money, and gold and silver and stuff. He got two wives. One, the one he got tricked, and he got pretty mad. It was like a payback. It was like a taste, like in some tea, right? You will see it. He didn't like it. What you do? You tricked me. Who's this? I didn't want her. I want Rachel. Well, this is the custom here. The older one has to go first, and then you want Rachel, you have to work another 7 years for me. So can love be a idol too? Perhaps. Because he was willing to work another 7 years for Rachel. Instead of just being happy with Leah, right? Just because she have funny looking eyes, one to the one side, the other one to the other side. He was not happy about that. He wanted the beauty. According to what I read, Rachel is beautiful. Oh, so you had to work another 7 years for Rachel. Okay. I consider that she was his idol. Right? In Genesis, we're going to read 31 here, 13 to 19, and then 32 to 35. And it says, I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou bow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return into the land of thy kindred. This is God talking to Jacob, telling him, this is a good time for you to leave. I guess God know what was coming behind him, or what was coming in the future. And Rachel and Leah answered and said to him, is there yet any portion of the inheritance for us in our father's house? And we are not counting on him strangers, for he has sold us and hath quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God has taken from our father, that is ours and our children's. Now and then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. Then Jacob rose up and set out his sons and his wives and camels and carried away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten in Padan Aram for to go to Isaac his father into the land of Canaan. And Laban went to shear his sheep, and Rachel had stolen his images. They were her father's. And that's what I bring my attention right there. That this whole time, what I even noticed, they were worshiping images even in those days. And how did Rachel knew? I mean, because she was part of it. She was part of the family. So she knew what his father was doing. Why did she talk those things? That's the question. Why did she talk those things with her? She wanted to continue to worship those images, those items. And Laban knew what happened, but as soon as she saw that opportunity that he went away, she went and took and stole, actually. That's the word for it. She stole those things from her. And that was without Jacob knowing. And so Laban find out, and now we're going to read here in 32 and 35, with whomsoever thou findest thy gods, let him not live before our brethren. Discern thou what is done with me, and take it to thee, for Jacob knew not that Rachel has stolen them. And Laban went into Jacob's tent, and into Leah's tent, and into the two maid servants' tents, but he found it not. Then went out to Leah's tent, and entered into Rachel's tent. And now Rachel has taken the images and put them in a camel's furniture, and set up on them. And Laban searched all the tent, but found them not. And she also said to her father, let not displease my lord that I cannot rise up before thee, for the custom of woman is upon me. And he searched, but found not the images. So he was going crazy to find these things. What is this value on these things, on these images, on these figures that he's looking for? Rachel do all that she can, perhaps knowing that she will be getting in so much trouble, or she really wanted to continue worshiping these things. And so she used that custom of woman upon her, taking advantage of something maybe she was not even going through that. But why Laban was so mad about not able to find these artifacts? And this is what I think that the word looked like. Seraphim is a small images of cool objects used in domestic deities or articles by ancient Semitic people. And the English word idol is a translation in the Bible that may represent any several Hebrew words. I got this from online. And the commandments say you should, God says you should not make yourself an idol. The word idol is pesel. It's indicating something that is carved, that is hewn. It's a subsequent passage that pesel was applied to images of metal, wood, or stone. I mean, if you go to Mexico, it's like these people, I don't see it much here, but if you go to Mexico, like any town, you see all these figurines, all these statues of saints and trees, cactus, animals like donkeys, cows, and all that stuff. It's like they have that special gift. They know how to do those things. I mean, I see these figurines, and they're like not really that well made, but you know, you go to Mexico and you have all these idols right there. And for whatever reason, as you're walking by, those who have been down there, they bring you attention. Oh, look at how cute it is, right? I mean, they look so nice, so perfect. And so you have them all over the house, on your house. Brother Jay, when he was with me in my home, he can tell you my mom had a lot of those, including Virgin Mary. No, actually, there was an altar. My dad built an altar with rock and stuff, and Virgin Mary was right there. What are you going to do? Those are the traditions that we have to deal with in Mexico. You know, but those are things that they come from us. That's the things that God did not say, you should make yourself gods to worship. He didn't say that. There's some things, you know, if you think about it, if you about in the days the temple was built. He told Moses what to make. But these words came from him. And so anything that comes from him, anything that he says, it should be done, right? So were those considered items too? Maybe not in that time that he ordered to be made. But we're going to get there. Here in the temple, you can see there's some seraphims right there. And right down there where the guy is bending over, I believe it's the Ark of Covenant. But he also made other items in the temple. Trees and where the showbread was and all of those things. But these images were command by God to be in the temple. And this is the thing that sometimes objects that God instructed to be made were turned into the idols of the Israelites. And we're going to talk about a little bit about me and my brother Gordon. Last time I was traveling with him, we got into that, and it was interesting. It was interesting the how humans, anything they have no understanding of, they think that it's special, and they start to worship it. That's the weakness we have, I guess. We have to worship something that is seen by you, but that is seen by your eyes, you know, something that you can see and touch. Instead of putting your heart in the God who created everything. The ark was made by wood and gold, and God told them how to make it, so they made it. They made it with their hands. It's something that was made by men's hands. And why is it that so many people is trying to look for them these days? What are they seeking? Are they seeking for it for the right reason? There's a movie, The Last Ark. What's the movie? Oh man, I forgot the name of the movie. But I think in my next slide, I had the name. Indiana Jones, that's the name of the movie. And there's like three of them. But one is about the Ark, trying to find the Ark. Indiana Jones trying to find it to be the most famous archaeologist. And the other people are trying to find it to get power. To take over the world, I believe. So, and then still until today, they're still looking for it. But they haven't found it. They think they have found it, but they haven't found it. So all of these things, because God made them, in those days, today, they're trying to find them to worship of them. They're not trying to find it just for whatever reason. They're trying to find to worship them, to gain power, to think that they might, if they find it, they might get the power that they're looking for. But to me, it's still an idol. So you ask your question, and you know, there is a time that when the king of Babylon conquered Israel, they took over, they take with them everything, all the treasures that they have in the temple. And so, why did the Ark of the Covenant will never be found? You know, in 2 Kings 24:11, it says in King Nebuchadnezzar, King of Babylon, came against the city and took everything and destroyed it and cut it in pieces. Did he took the ark? We don't know for sure. And perhaps it's in pieces too. So they will never find it, right? 2 Kings 24:13, and says, and he carried all this, all the treasures of the house of the Lord and the treasures of the kings of the house and cut them in pieces. All the vessels of God, Solomon's king, Israel have made for the temple of the Lord. So perhaps the ark is gone. As the Lord has said, there is a book. Perhaps, I don't know what they call it, the last books. 2 Maccabees. We don't read it. But it says right there, and when Jeremy came thither, he found a hollow cave where he laid the tabernacle and the ark and the altar of incense. And so stopped at the door. So it says that this guy, Jeremy, took over to all these treasures of the temple and hide them in some cave that no one knows. So you're trying to find or to look for the ark? Good luck with that. It's just like going to the, what are those mountains, superstition mountains, trying to find the last Dutchman treasure? You will never find it. I have so many people in my world that come and they want to go to the superstition mountains just to see if they can run into it. I'm like, if it's yours, you might run into it without even trying to look for it, if it really exists. I don't know for sure. But another thing is the brass, snake. We're going to find out what is it called, what's the name of it for sure. But do you guys remember what happened when the Israelites were in the desert? They were murmuring because they didn't have what they had in Egypt. And so God had enough of them and sent them snakes, fiery snakes or something like that. They will bite them and they will die. And so they cried out to Moses and said, do something about this. God told Moses, this is what you're going to do. So we're going to read here and think in Kings 18, 1 to 5, it says, now it came to pass that the third year of Hosea, son of Eli, king of Israel, Hezekiah, the son of Ahaz, king of Judah, began to reign. 25 years was when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Abi, and the daughter of Zechariah. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that David his father did. You know, you go to the book of Kings, 2 Kings, and all of these kings that came after David, they did nothing but wrongdoings, and God was not pleased with them. They were built all kinds of things, all kinds of worship altars and trees and rocks and who knows what. They were never acknowledged that the only God they need to worship is was the creator of everything. Only this guy, Hezekiah, good things that please the Lord. Why? Because he removed the high places, break the images, cut down the groves. Not the groves. Yeah, those are trees, right? Those are like trees. Cut down the groves and break in pieces the brazen serpent that Moses had made. For in those days, the children of Israel, they burned incense to it. And that's what brought the attention to me. I didn't even know where was this thing. Because it disappeared after, Moses made it. So apparently it was still around, hiding somewhere. And the Israelites were worshiping it. And they call it Nehushtan. Now he trusted the Lord God of Israel. So after he was none like him among all the kings of Judah, nor any that were before. So no after, no before, they were just like him. In Numbers, we read, and the Lord saying to Moses, make thee a fierce serpent and set it up on the pole, and it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when they look upon it, shall live. And Moses made the serpent of brass and put it up on the pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he would live. That's all that they have to do. Just to look up the brass, the serpent, and they will live. You know, I ask myself, why is it too hard today to look upon God, upon Christ? What is so hard for us to believe that all we need is Christ? We don't need any images, growth, anything that you think your life depends on it. John 3:14 says, and as Moses lived at the serpent at the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lift up. These are the words that Christ told Nicodemus. But he had no understanding still. Because even when God says, you know, you see this building, I will take it down and build it in 3 days. You don't need this building. You know, those people that make those images or those statues so fine, so nice, they make awesome buildings too. But there's no need. There's no need for a building. There's no need to build a house for God, because he lives in you. He lives in your heart. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we may be made the righteousness of God in him. The Lord Jesus literally is the same as this price that Moses make, the snake, the Nahushtan, the bronze snake. He represents, it's the same thing. But we still don't see it. There's a story about this guy, Asclepius, was a Greek god of medicine. A Greek mythology, he was the son of Apollo, god of light, truth, and prophecy. The centaur, Chiron, taught him the art of healing. But Zeus, the king of gods, he was afraid that he might render all men immortal. And he slew him, he killed him. This is instead believing in Christ crucified, that's where you will find eternal life. They made something like this. They twisted, almost like the twisted story. And so now we have that, and that's why we had this one. The road. Asclepius, the rod Asclepius. And so there's something that you see now, vehicles, like ambulance and nurse, you know, anything in the medical field, you see this symbol a lot. And which represents the same guy, instead of representing Christ crucified. So I'm going to read here something that might make sense more. I do hereby, this is something when you graduate as a doctor or as a nurse, it's like some type of oath that you make before you receive your diploma or you are graduate. This is a promise that you make that you're gonna keep when as a doctor or as a nurse. And this is what it says. They call it the osteopathic. So maybe if Mary knows or Caleb, who are in the medical fields, Nathan. I do hereby, this is what they had to say, I do hereby affirm my loyalty to the profession that I am about to enter, and I will be mindful always of my great responsibility to preserve the health and the life of my patients, to retain their confidence and respect both as a physical and friend who will guard their secrets with scrupulous honor and fidelity to perform faithfully my professional duties, to employ only those recognized methods and treatment consistent with good judgment and with my skills and ability, keeping in mind always natural laws and the body's inherent capacity for recovery. I will be ever vigilant in aiding in the general welfare of the community, sustaining its laws and institutions, not engaging in those practices which will in any way bring shame or discredit upon myself or my profession. I will give no drugs to deadly purpose to any person that be asked of me. When I was in the hospital, these nurses will come to me and they just do whatever they needed to do. And I'm like, what are you doing? I just thought in my mind, I hope you're not going to say anything outside of this room about me. Those are the things that you trust in, you know, the medical people, which they work in the medical field. So by me reading this and find out, you know, I have so much respect for the medical field, yes. But still, you know, this symbol right here, it goes to this guy, Eclepius, he's like the god of medicine. And I don't know about that. I don't know what to say. So when Paul, my brother Paul, went to Greece. Here we find this rock with this name, the Areopagus. Areopagus is a prominent rock located northwest of the Acropolis in Athens, Greece. It's an English name of the late Latin composite form of the Greek name Areopagus. Translated as the hill of areas. When Paul went to Greece, and if you remember, he talked about the unknowing God. So he find out as he was walking around there, he find out they were really religious in their way, not as supposed to be. They were worshippers of any items there. We're going to read a little bit here. It says, now while Paul waited, and this is in Acts 17, 16 to 19, when Paul waited for them and Athens, his spirit was stirred in him. And when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry, therefore disputed he and the synagogues with the Jews and with the devout persons. And in the market daily with them, that they met with him. Then a certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some say, what would these babblers say? You know, sometimes I feel like, yeah, that's me. What am I saying? But I hope you guys understand me. So these guys, they're like, what is this Babylon talking about? Because according to them, they know everything. They're philosophers, they're best I don't know, well-known scholars, I don't know. They pretty much knew everything. So they didn't know what Paul was talking about. So what are he saying? So they're the same. He seemed to be a softer for a strange God because he is preaching unto them Jesus and the resurrection, which they had no understanding about that. And they took him and brought him into this rock, this area. That's where they all sit down and talk about things because they were always willing to talk about new things. They were always willing to know new things. And so he told that they asked him that we may know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is. So this is who they are. They were interesting because they were always willing to learn new things. And we continue. In Acts 17, 22, 29, since the Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hills, which is the rock, and said, you men are Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious. As I passed by and beheld our devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God, whom therefore you ignorantly worship him, I declare unto you. I'm sorry. God that made the world and all the things therein, saying that he is the Lord of heaven and earth, dwelt not in temples made with hands. Neither is worship with men's hands, as I thought he need anything, seeing he gave to all life, breath, and all things. And they made of one blood all nations of men, for to dwell in all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed, and he bounds of their habitations. You know, Paul noticed the altars that is dedicated to the unknown God. And he saw the opportunity that was behind it, the truth that was behind it. The one who everything is contained. He was not going to lose the opportunity. And that I feel like that we should be the same. Because a lot of people believe in gods that really don't have that much understanding about them. That is pointless. And that is when we should take the opportunity to clarify things. There is only one God. There is he made everything. And he has no need for anything. We're like the scripture here that he made us out of the one blood. It brought my attention to that a lot of the times, you know, we are his creation. And a lot of times I wonder, and I told my wife, if we are made in God's creation, why is it that we all look different? We should look like God's. But who am I to ask, right? Who am I to ask? I mean, Mexicans look different. Chinese look different. We all look different. So this scripture right here, on 26, and he hath made one blood all nations. It's from our fathers. Forefathers, that they all this continue. So, Acts 27, I could read it again. Have made of one blood all nations of men for well into all the face of the earth, and had determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. We are the same no matter what. We might look different in the outside. But like I said it once, God is the greatest creator. He created us in His image, and He never makes mistakes. We are the same inside. We might look a little bit different in the outside, but that's how we should take it. That's how God made us. Like these eggs come in various sizes and colors, but they're all the same. The eggshell color does not change the egg nutrition value. Yes, they are different size and colors. They are all eggs, just as we are all God's children, despite being different in a physical appearance. We all receive the light of God, regardless of our difference. But that's what they make us, God's children. In Matthew 8, 19 to 20, it says, "And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whatsoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nets, but the Son of Man hath nowhere to lay his head." Are you ready to follow Christ? You know, in those days, he chose 12. But they were, what is the most of the time that Christ spent? You know, in the garden, the tree olives. I read somewhere that there was some type of cave in there, which that's where they spend most of the time. So he didn't have an actually house. You know, in John, it says a different way. In John 1:39, it says, Jesus turned and saw them following and saying to them, What seek ye? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is say, being interpreted, and Master, where thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. And they came and saw they saw where he dwelt and abode with him in that day. So it doesn't say exactly where. It doesn't say. Come and see. Come and see. You ready to be with me? If you don't mind where I live, you don't mind, follow me. I don't have a castle to offer you, a mansion to offer you here in this earth, that's for sure. A mansion in heaven, that's what he's offering us. Paul was wise to begin with the altar of the knowing God. And that is the opportunity that he took. So the opportunity that Christ has for us is to follow him, not knowing where we're going or where we're going to end. And Stephens, when he was in front of the Sanhedrin did not like what Stephen has to say when he starts speaking about Christ and what happened, what they did to him. Our fathers had the tabernacle of witness in the wilderness, as he had appointed, speaking unto Moses that he should make it according to the fashion that he had seen, which is also our fathers that came after brought in with Jesus into the possession of the Gentiles whom God drove out before the face of our fathers into the day of David, who found favor before God and desired to find a tabernacle for the God of Jacob. But Solomon built him a house. However, the Most High dwelt not in temples made with hands. This is something that Stephen kind of messed up for them. They ran in their parade because the temple was their money producer. You make money when you have a temple. And here, God is not there. He does not need a temple made with hands. You know, we keep hearing that the Israelites and Israel, they're getting ready to build a second temple. I don't know what to think about that. as says the prophet, heaven is my throne and earth is my footstool. The house where you build me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest? Had not my hands made all these things? I don't need your help. I have everything. All I need is your heart. That's what he says. Everything else that you made with your hands is idols to you, not for me. So it's like, don't use that. Don't use my name. All I need is your heart. We are his temple. We are his temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, know you not that ye are the temple of God? And so I'm going to just show up a little bit, a few pictures that I found out that I thought I might go with this. This is some type of idol. It's a woman that they're carrying her with happiness, and they would do anything for that item, for that statue. It's a big party in town. We all get excited. Don't get me wrong, it's fun, music, food, all that stuff. But not to think about, everything is for this thing. All the food and everything is for him. And who knows how much money you spend during that time that it goes for a week, the same birthday or whatever it is. Here's another one. They will build a nice altars made up with fine stuff because everything is for them. You know, there's another scripture that I can't remember where it says, you know, if someone invites you to eat food, just make sure that it's not offered to idols. You know, what God has made is already blessed, you know. You should eat it. But if it's offered to idols, you should not. You should not be partake of that. And now that I think about everything that is in that specific time that are celebrating, everything is offered to that idol right there. And it just keeps going and going. But ready for this? They're all false idols. They're all false idols. And if you have seen this movie, what's the answer? Whatever. That's what Nacho says. Whatever. Because we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear it. I like to be honored and throw daisies, like he says. And I like to be known for who I am. But they're all false. These days, have you seen online people putting these images on Facebook or whatever? See, we just worship things like this, not having understanding that when Christ comes in his glory, every eye shall see him, every knee shall bow. In his glory, you will know. If you have understanding of the scriptures, you will know that this is an illusion. And God has warned us of the last days. If you have read Matthew 24, there will be wonders. But I think that those wonders and illusions, they're coming not from God. It's to confuse us. You have to focus only on what you know and not being deceived of all these things. Here's another one. That one is big. Who do you see there? It's like the image of Virgin Mary. In Mormon 4:54, it says, why do you adorn yourself with that which hath no life? And yet suffer the hungry and the needy, and the naked and the sick and the afflicted to pass you by and notice them not. You know, we put everything to them when all these things are happening to us in our lives, and you don't see no difference because you're praying to the wrong God. You're asking help to the wrong God. So whatever you do, do it not, I mean, because we can be really, what's the word, stubborn. We can really be really stubborn. And says this is appearance of some type of holiness image. Here, I'm going to read this other one. 2 Nephi 6:71. It says, yea, woe unto they that worship idols, for the devil of all devils delight in them. See, he's like, he's throwing to you all these images, just like messing out with your brain, with your mind, trying to confuse them. But everything that you see in these things, the mastermind is Satan. He is behind all this. What's the last one that did you just kind of, it just came out. The hurricane that we just had this huge white cross wash out on the beach. They don't have no idea where that thing came from. It's a white cross full of banner cross or whatever, all kinds of sea stuff. And now they're worshiping that cross that it came out from the sea. Not knowing where it came from. Maybe from Puerto Rico, I don't know. But see, if you really think that God is sending you a message or is telling you something, you don't have to go to it. You can just go straight to God. But you want to see, literally that thing in front of you for you to believe and start to believe the Creator who is now seeing. What did Christ say? Blessed art thou, did you see, did you believe without seeing? Right? Mosiah 7:95-96. Yea, if you keep the commandments which the Lord delivered unto Moses in the Mount of Sinai, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, thou shalt have no other God before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any grave image, or any likeness of anything in heaven or above, or things which are in the earth beneath. You should not bow to any of them. You should not trust yourself in the arm of flesh. That's what he says, because he's going to fail you. He's going to fail you. So how quickly we can fall back when we turn our back to God. Helaman, when he speaks to his sons, and thou seeing that their laws have become corrupted, and that they have become wicked people, and so much that they were wicked even like unto the Lebanon. And because of the iniquity, the church has begun to unwound, and they begin to disbelieve in the spirit of prophecy and in the spirit of revelation, and the judgments of God stare them in the face. And they saw that they have become weak like unto their brethren, the Lamanites. And the Spirit of the Lord did no more preserve them, yea, and they have withdrawn from them, because the Spirit of the Lord do not dwell in unholy temples. So after God has blessed them and protecting them from the enemies, and have provided everything for them, once they have everything, they forget about him. And they start to doing all these things which their fathers did and before. They forget what God has, how much God has blessed them. And they start to put in their trust in the things that they have. which we all know that they only please you for so much time. It's not forever. But what it says here is the Lord does not dwell in unholy temples. How many times we're going to read that before we understand that all we need is God and not anything that is made by hands? 271. Oh, remember, my sons, the words which King Benjamin speak unto his people. Yet remember that there's no other way, no means where men can be saved, only through the atoning blood of Jesus Christ, which shall come. And yet remember that he cometh to redeem the world. That is a prophecy that we got from King Mosiah in 124 B.C. And so that's the Mosiah 3:11. There is no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore, I will that you should take upon you the name of Christ. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that's all we need. Jesus saying to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes into the Father but by me. Christ is the only way. That's all. He's all we need. In Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren, like unto me, and to him you should hearken to them. Moses, speak in those days, years back. There's going to be someone coming just like me to him. This is Christ. This is all you need. It's just him. To him, listen, hearken to him. You know, I like it when in the Book of Mormon, you read that it says, you should feast and the word of God. Do we feast enough of it? I don't think so. I said it for myself. I don't think I feast enough from the word of God. I feel like Brother Adam said, I feel like feeling it. And a lot of those things. And I hope in God that he forgets me for those things. We just had this huge event in my work for 10 days, 11 days. This church called themselves Church of God. And they were celebrating the Feast of the Tabernacles, which you see in Chronicles, I believe it's 23. And well, sometimes I kind of make a comment to them, to you, are you feasting? Oh, yeah, I am. I'm like, I didn't mean food. Are you feasting on the word of God? 11 days, they were there with us. But that's how I say, you know, men should not live only by bread, but by the word of God. We need to read our scriptures. And how we encourage ourselves is to be here, to be part of this group, to be part of our church, to be part of our gathering, congregation. That's how we feast in the word of God, and you will not fall back. Helaman 2:74-75. I don't know if I read this, but I'm going to read it again. If I did, forgive me. And now, my sons, remember, there is upon the rock of our Redeemer, which is the Christ, the Son of God, that you might build your foundation. That when the devil shall send forth his mighty winds, yea, his shafts and his whirlwinds, yea, when all his hail and his mighty storms shall beat upon you, it should have no power over you to drag you down to the gulf of misery and endless woe, because of the rock upon which you are built, which is a sure foundation where if man is built, he cannot fail. Those are strong words for me. So don't come out to me with this disbeliefs and some items and some Because I have had conversations with people that like they for sure they have received a miracle because they brought money and a photo of whatever person to this item and put it in this item feed or whatever, and he had provide whatever they were looking for to this person. In the name of Christ, there's power. Psalms 115:4-7 says, the idols are silver and gold, the work of man's hands. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes they have, but they see not. They have ears, but they hear not. Nose have they, but they smell not. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither they speak throughout the throne. They just sit there and do nothing. We have to put a trust in the one who built everything. Where will you build me a house when I made everything? Why would I need you to build me a house when heaven is my home, my throne? He does not need a house. He does not need things made by hands. 2 Chronicles 16:26. For all the gods of the people are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. He is the one. He is the only one. There's no one else. And with that, well, I finished my presentation here. And I'm sorry I went a little bit over. But I hope that I made a point in this day that we don't need everything that the world offered to us, but we only need God. Keep Him always in your heart and your mind everywhere you go. Thank you.